Welcome to the Consulting Edge podcast. If you want to find out how to turn your knowledge and expertise into a consulting business, find your edge and become a seven-figure consultantpreneur in the digital age from startup to scale up, then this podcast is for you. I'm your host, Masood Hassan, and every week I'll take you through practical content that you can use to turn what you know into a lifetime of multiple income streams, work less, and grow faster smartly. These are methods that I actually use to do my own consulting work and how I built up my own consulting business over the last 25 years. For each episode, I'll create a custom action guide so you know exactly what steps to take to help you get results really fast. My ambition is to change the future of 1 million people to break out on their own and create new business value. 1 million independent consultants, 1 million stories, 1 million futures. So be sure to subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast platform and join me now for this week's episode. Welcome to episode 10 of the Consulting Edge podcast, and it's specifically about transition and transiting from employee to consultopreneur. I'm really delighted that you can join me again. And if you've been listening to the previous episodes, I'm hoping you're finding the special 10-part series really useful. As always, please feel free to drop me an email on masood@theconsultingedge.co. As always, I'd love to hear your feedback. Tell me what you like, tell me what you don't like, and also let me know what sort of things that you want to hear about. I have a number of guests coming up in the next season of the podcast that I can really bring on board and share that insight with you. Now, in episode 10, I'll go through the topic of transition, and it's specific to those that are looking to make that transition into consulting, whether you're in full-time work or you want to do this as a side hustle, or you're now in a position to actually set up by yourself and on your own. In previous episodes, I've actually gone through a lot of areas and I've covered a lot of detail, and I'm hoping that's of value to you. And I now want to start to bring some of that together for you, because if you're at a point where you're thinking of doing this, or at a point that you're already there, but just need that little bit of an edge, then making that transition in the right way will actually be quite useful for you to think about. We've all heard about the great resignation, right? Where people are now beginning to move away and they want to change the way they live. They want to change the way they work. It's not all about living to work. It's more about working to live. And I think that people are now taking a breath and thought, well, look, there has to be something different out there. And in today's world, I think there is a different way that we can approach the way we work. We also know that careers are changing and we're living in a world where the nature of that work is different, as I said earlier. And people want to find their own voice in their own terms. So wherever you are in your journey and you're thinking, you're probably listening to this because I'm assuming that you might be in one of the following situations. You might be in a position where you're working 9 to 5 and thinking of moving into consulting because you've heard somebody else talk about it and saying, well, that's interesting. I'd like to also do the same. You may already be a consultant, but want to take your business to another level. You could also be in a position where you lost your job or became redundant, just like I did. Or you're in a place where you want to supplement your income, whether you're working or whether you're retired, and you just need that little bit extra to help you. You may also be in a position where you want to change jobs and be your own boss. Or you've ended up with some money and you want to start something different for yourself, but you still want to be working, but not in a corporate or a full-time job. Or you might just simply want to get into consulting with a big firm and you're thinking, well, how do I do that? And what sort of skills do I need to have to prepare me for it? Or you may simply just want to up your game in consulting because you've reached a plateau in your business right now. So for whatever reasons you're here, you've obviously made your mind up that you want to do something about it. And in essence, it really doesn't matter. In each of those scenarios that I've just painted, you're probably asking the same sort of questions that keep haunting you as they did for me. You know, what if I fail if I took this big step? What if I won't be able to provide for my family? What if I can't replace my salary with the income generated if I go to consulting? What if I just can't simply get clients? And what if someone is better than me? And there's also thoughts about negativity around, well, who am I? Who am I to be the expert? Who am I the one to be able to give advice? And who will listen to me? And will somebody actually pay me for what I know? And all of those things are probably churning around in your head right now. And the list is endless. It could go on and on and on. But there's one thing for sure. It'll eat away at you for months and if not years until you actually do something about it. But let's just start by asking yourself a set of basic questions. And you tell me how you feel about it. Now, if you don't want to realize your potential, if you don't want to be your own boss, if you don't want the flexibility and freedom, if you don't want to have unlimited income potential, or work with stuff that you love to do, or even have fun along the way, and if you don't want to work hard and get paid accordingly for your value and be valued, if you don't want to do any of that, then starting your own consulting business might not be the right option for you. Now, this is what I hear from people who want to transit into consulting from where they are, either as a current employee or because they want a different path. Now, it's easy if you prefer the perceived safety and stability of a corporate world. Now, don't let anyone hold that against you. I mean, I did it for a while, but I'm not sure if the corporate world is as stable as it once was. But if what I've just mentioned is what you want, then welcome to the world of consulting. And I'm here to help you get through that transition phase. Now, take a deep breath. I said in episode one that the whole point of getting into this business is because you have the experience and the expertise already. The trick is to be able to sell it. And if you have years of experience working in a corporate world, you're already halfway to becoming a consultant. Now, we've all come to a crossroads in our life at some stage, where it's about leaving a job and starting somewhere else. Starting up a business idea, a marriage, a relationship, or money problems, there are crossroads that make you think about what you need to do all the time. Now, before consulting, I spent 13 years managing manufacturing, engineering, and supply chains for major big industrial companies. I started with a boutique consulting company at a much later time in my life than most consultants. The first couple of years in consulting were indeed challenging for me. In fact, in my first end-of-year review report from one of the partners actually said, shaky start. Now, the challenge for me was almost immediate. I had to learn quickly about how to deal with ambiguity, when to live with it, and when and how to challenge it. Learning how to be hypothesis-driven and start to prioritize using 80-20 all the time. I also had to learn about using facts and data to support my recommendations and not just my own experience. I also had to get my head around being managed by people sometimes 5, 6, 7, 8 years younger than me, who on occasion knew less about the project content than me, but who I know I had a great deal to learn from. I also had to learn about deliverables and how to shape them and make sure we actually delivered. I was also asked to do menial tasks by making slides and changing font sizes and formatting and going through many, many iterations of PowerPoint slides. The so-called dreaded deck. You know, we had to get the deck right. We had to book travel and meetings. I'd no longer had a secretary to do all that for me. And in small consulting teams, everyone's expected to do whatever it takes to get the client outcome. I also learned about writing proposals that had to be crystal clear, concise, and made sense. And figuring out how to manage my work-life balance, because it meant I was traveling everywhere, but I also had to be able to manage everything at home at the same time. And also being away from home for days, and just being what I was termed as a weekend dad. It took a lot of effort to get my head around all of those things, particularly having come from industry and stepping out from industry and transiting into consulting. It took a measure of humility and perseverance, but it was also a tremendously valuable learning and development experience for me. And it ultimately paved the way for a successful career in the firm. I became partner, and I won the award for Best Consultant of the Year that matched the values of the firm and was voted in by my peers. Now, when I look back at my first ever interview in consulting, at that stage, the feedback that I got was I brought in great industry experience, but I lacked the consulting skills needed to do the job, and therefore had to start from the bottom. I think experienced candidates bring a great deal to the firm for clients, but it requires a significant degree of passion, humility, and perseverance, especially those without previous management consulting experience to make it work. I tell you this not to frighten you off, but to say that what I've learned over those years is what I'm really sharing with you right now in this podcast. I'm hoping that this enables you to shortcut the journey and perhaps break out on your own and do the same thing, but with a difference. You'll do it for yourself, and you'll have a blueprint that I'm sharing with you throughout the podcast series. I was lucky that I had a background in consulting to take the plunge to set off on my own. But the two things are different. Simply put, I received the consulting skill aspects of doing consulting, but doing it on my own was a different thing. How you get started can come in many ways, but there is a difference between providing your skills to an employer versus doing it as an independent consultant. Now, if you're working for someone, then you only have that company to work for. As a consultant, you're serving multiple clients instead of a single employer. And when you applied for your current job, you sent in a CV. You did an interview, you won the job, and then started working for your employer. But you stopped marketing yourself. Now, as a consultant, this marketing process never ends. It never stops. You have to keep doing it all the time because you're getting new clients all the time, or you're working on new projects all the time. And you continue to market and sell yourself, even after winning clients. And in fact, jobs actually become client projects. And you're always looking out for new client projects, even while you're working on one or multiple projects. The art of identifying new clients and turning them into paid consulting work is all about marketing and sales. You know that you can do the work. You just don't know how to win the work. But if you know how to win new consulting work, you can earn far more than you would be in a corporate job. And if you enjoy that, then you will certainly enjoy the world of consulting and running your own business as a consultantpreneur. Now, either way, you'll need some kind of transition strategy and a shift in mindset. Now, I'm not going to go into the mechanics of actually setting up your consulting business or getting your clients in this episode. I've already covered some of that in previous episodes. What is critical is that you get your head in the right place and avoid wasting time. So firstly, there's five mindset changes that you'll actually need to adopt. It's one of the biggest obstacles that I see most people facing and taking that leap. Now, you may already be there, but let me just refresh your mind. And maybe there's other things in there that I haven't thought about that you might want to get back to me and we can add in there. And we can talk about that in future episodes. So the first mind shift is all around focusing on time to focusing on results. Now, outcomes are more important than effort. Now, I had to embrace being ruthlessly effective, and I did that by focusing on what I created by the end of the day, rather than what I worked on and spent my time on. At work, it's easy to spend the 9 hours probably just walking around, talking to people, making some notes, going to meetings, but you're not accountable for the output of that particular day. In consulting, clients are constantly looking for what you've actually achieved in the day because they're paying for it. Mind shift number two is all around moving from following expectations to actually setting goals. Look, when I was in industry, every Monday we'd have a team meeting in a small meeting room to see how we performed against the goals that we were given, and they were normally set a week earlier. Now, these always came from the top, and we just had to execute without a clear idea of our contribution to the project at large. Now, when I started my own consulting business, I had to set measurable goals, not just revenue, but also about what I wanted to achieve, lifestyle, impact, challenges. I also learned about setting the big picture and setting measurable goals to help me know my direction and understand whether I was moving closer to them or not. Mind shift number three is all about compliance with expectations to leading. In a work environment, there's often unnecessary rules that have no other objective than to foster compliance. We all know what they are, right? As a consultantpreneur, I had to move from compliance to leading others. You know, setting expectations with clients, briefing and measuring other consultants and freelancers and contractors, sharing my journey and message, and letting them understand what was needed in order to get the outcome for the client. I learned to get people on the same page to move towards a common goal that would actually achieve what we wanted for the client. Mind shift number four was all around working from on-site to being location independent. When I was working my 9-to-5 job, I traveled hardly anywhere. As soon as I got into consulting, I traveled everywhere. Now, normally you will have to work as a physical business consultant. I lived in a hotel 4 or 5 nights a week. I was far away from my wife and my friends and my family, and I was far away from the town that I actually grew up in. And in one sense, your teammates live next to you, and so does your manager, who lives next door to you in the same hotel that you're staying at. Now, this took its toll on my personal life and my health. As a consultantpreneur, I decided to make up for those restrictions and create location independence. I stopped working on projects that didn't allow me to be location independent. Now I spend my year in 3 countries, and I currently live in London, where all of my work is now being conducted. Mind shift number 5 is all about being unfulfilled to embracing uncertainty. I felt unfulfilled as an employee. There were so many rules and unnecessary restrictions on my lifestyle, and yet the impact on my work wasn't that tangible. I couldn't justify the personal cost, but it was still lovely to get a paycheck at the end of each month. When I started my consulting business, I jumped the gun a little too early, and I didn't have that certainty. I had to figure out ways to grow my business while also facing some money scripts holding me back, such as the classic sense of guilt. It wasn't easy, but it also taught me to deal with a higher level of uncertainty. Wow, what a great superpower to have in life. Now, these 5 are the most significant mind shifts that I've experienced and I've embraced after quitting my job to start my first business. And if you're on the same journey, get ready to let go some of your old ways of thinking that no longer serve you on your path anymore and embrace the new ones that support your business and your goals. When it comes to the physical leap, there's a lot to think about, I know. And you're probably listening to this and think, well, do I, don't I? What's the one piece of advice Masood is going to give to me that nails it for me? The true fact is, I can't give you that. But what I can give you is a confidence to say that it's okay. It will happen for you, and you just need to have the faith in yourself to do it. As I started this podcast, I knew there would be some difficult hurdles to cross. As I was trying to answer so many different aspects of what really matters in getting your business from startup to scale up. Now, I've been thinking about wisdom a lot lately. I think I'm capable of recognizing good advice when I read it or get it. But still, I'm coming to truly appreciate the type of knowledge that only comes with age and experience. I guess that's what makes wisdom different from sheer intelligence or intuition or any of the host of other good characteristics that any person could have. Look, these are my thoughts and opinions and experiences from the coalface that I've personally related to me during my time in consulting and my time in industry. I also believe that a lot of the lessons can just as well be applied to other professions. But let me be clear, if you don't have the drive to encourage yourself, then no one will. Now, too often we undervalue our strengths, our skills, and our expertise that we naturally acquire over time. If you reframe the concept of adding value through the lens of solving problems, you can ask yourself, what are you well placed and equipped to do to help solve problems in your workplace or your career or your organization or the industry that you're in? You can also ask yourself what problems you really enjoy solving and what problems you feel passionate about trying to solve. You'll then be more successful at focusing on your natural strengths and those things that you're intimately good at, rather than trying to bolster or eliminate your weaknesses and find excuses not to take the leap. What's important is what's important to you. It's very hard to improve your life if you don't know what improvement actually looks like for you personally. It's easy to fill our lives up with things that don't really matter to us. The trick is to ask yourself how to spend less time doing unimportant things and more time doing the things that we love. But it's not a perfect process where you can drop everything right now. But as you focus from this point on, you'll be amazed at the results that you're going to get. So why am I telling you all of this right now? Well, you're probably at a stage, if you're not there already, where you're standing at the edge of the swimming pool with both your big toes in touching the water and you're contemplating, well, is this the right time to jump? And all you need is that push. Now, I'm hoping that when you listen to this podcast and then my confidence in you and my encouragement will actually help you make that push into the water. And if I can make that push for you, there's really only one question left. Now what? How do I become a consultantpreneur and make that transition? So don't make it an idea that's stuck in your head. True entrepreneurs take the idea and execute on it. That's what a consultantpreneur is all about. You can be a consultant full of ideas and thoughts, but you need to be an entrepreneur to make sure you execute them. Joining those two things together and making sure that you take your ideas and execute on them enables you to become a consultantpreneur. Gary Vaynerchuk said, ideas are shit unless they're implemented. And that's exactly what a consultantpreneur's role is. Take your ideas, take your experience, take your expertise and execute on it and make it happen. Now the question is, are you ready to execute? Now it may have taken you a while, but you've obviously decided to make that move. You're ready to leverage your unique combination of experience, knowledge and expertise with the entrepreneurial mindset as a consultantpreneur and decided to transition from an employee into your own business. Look, whatever the circumstances that brought you to this point, the first question you need to ask to yourself is, am I ready? The rewards can be great, but also so are the risks. And it will change your lifestyle in many ways that you may not be prepared for. So my suggestion is that you start small. Start now and start while you have your 9-to-5. As I work through this process mentally, emotionally, and financially, I ask myself many times, why not just burn the boat and just move? Or why not just force myself to learn how to swim or face the prospects of drowning if I just leave now? And if I did that, wouldn't that bring about the much needed solution more quickly to me? But I never allowed myself to pull the trigger on that. It's just not who I am. What happened instead was that over time I created a soft landing for myself that eased me into an entrepreneurship gradually. While burning the boat abruptly, leaving your job and then figuring out your new business venture is certainly one way to go about transiting from your full-time job into business. But it's not the way that I suggest you do it. I don't advocate that path. Instead of burning the boat, here's how to create a soft landing. Number one, you don't have to cut the cord. Look, a lot of people think you have to completely quit your day job in order to be a successful consultant. Now, almost everyone I meet nowadays either wants to or has a side hustle. Now, for some of those people, that side hustle is just that. It's an outlet for their passions without any intent to do any more than that. However, for many of them, the side hustle represents sort of a dream escape for them. It's the wish to be their own boss. It's the ultimate goal of transiting from an employee to an entrepreneur. Now, starting your future consulting business as a side hustle has some great benefits. First, it offers the opportunity to prove out the concept in the market. And it also has the chance to confirm that someone will actually pay for your experiences and your expertise. And it also gets the ball rolling. Now, the whole thriving side hustle also provides two additional benefits on top of the proof of concept: financial reserves and time to make a plan. So if you're banking extra money from your side hustle, and you should be because you're proving the concept that someone will actually pay you for what you're offering, and it can also provide you with a runway during your transition from employee to consultantpreneur. Now, if you plan it well, you can incrementally increase your side hustle to bring in enough income to support you for 3 or 6 months. Now, when the time comes, you can resign from your job knowing that you've got some money on the side and you've got it in the bank and you're ready to ramp up your plan to scale the proven concept and get it up to speed full-time really quickly. Now, there's more complex versions of this simple plan. If you work for an employer who will let you go down that part-time path, then that's even better. And you can start tipping the scales in the direction of your business while not entirely leaving your job and your safety behind you. Or perhaps even that your current company, you can become a customer of their business. I've known many people leave their jobs and find out only that they're going back as consultants into the same role that they were in. So you can actually get quite creative about how you do that. And there's always ways of making that happen without risking your shirt, your car, your house, your family, and your mental health. Number two, you don't have to do the world's most unique idea. You don't have to have the most unique or the innovative idea to build a viable business. And in the guest episodes that I'll be bringing to you, I'll demonstrate that to you by introducing you to people who've actually made all of this work for themselves. Now, no one does business, provides services, or creates products like you. You have a unique value proposition. And if you ask me, you have a responsibility to offer that to the world. The way you approach your relationships with clients and the way you conduct your business will resonate differently than it will with your competitors' clients, which means there is space for you no matter where you are in the market and where you want to fit in. As I keep saying to everyone I meet, there's enough consulting work out there for everyone. Believe me, we don't have enough independent consultants out there to do the work that's needed. And organizations are constantly looking for people with outside perspective with an expertise that can come in and help them fast. So don't fear the word saturation. If you have a clear perspective, a conviction, and some really good content, you'll be able to stand out among the ones you want to attract. Number three, it might not be better or worse, but it'll be different. I can guarantee you that transiting from an employee to a consultantpreneur isn't for everyone. I often tell people that you trade in one set of challenges for another. It's just a matter of what your personality is and how you're wired to manage the best way you possibly can. Now, you've heard of the saying that I'd rather work 100 hours a week for myself than 40 hours a week for someone else, right? Look, the 100-hour weeks is an extreme, but there's so much truth in that statement. Whether you want to call it working harder, grinding, or hustling, it'll just be different. Now, some people like owning all of the responsibility, while others want to hand it over to someone else at the end of the day. And other professionals want to have a say in everything they do and will never have a voice loud enough to consume all of the seats at the table unless they're the only one at the table. Before diving in headfirst, think about your strengths and weaknesses. What will support your success as a consultantpreneur? Where will you need to grow? How will you design your business to play in your strengths while circumnavigating your weaknesses? Well, that's it for episode 10. I know it's been short, but I hope that's given you some idea as the sort of things that you need to start thinking about as you want to be able to transit from where you are right now as an employee into being a consultantpreneur. And I hope that you found this valuable. And as always, please reach out to me, Masood@theconsultingedge.co. And if you have any questions, I'll be delighted to help. Now, in episode 11, which will be the last of the special 10-part series, I'll speak about momentum. I've fired a lot of content at you over the last 10 episodes, and now it's time to start bringing all of that together and continuing to drive that ahead. And the way that I'm going to do that is to start to introduce you to people who have actually done it. Real people like yourself and me who actually know what it takes to actually get there and have got some really fantastic insights to share with you. So look out for those, please. I've got some great people coming on board and I'd love for you to be able to hear their stories and being able to set up really successful businesses from what they know and their expertise and their experiences that they've learned over the years while doing their work. But before I leave, yep, I've got some actions for you. You can't escape by not having any actions from me in these episodes. Now make some time to go through the following and please drop me a line. I'd love to hear about how you're progressing. Get yourself a clean sheet of paper, get yourself a cup of coffee or a cup of tea as usual, then find a corner where you can get some time by yourself. Now at the top of that page, what I'd like you to write down is my transition strategy goal is, and fill in the blank. So what is your transition strategy goal? You may have a number of them, but it doesn't really matter. Just pick one. It could be one that says, I'm going to try and test out my ideas with people that I know. It could be the fact that you want to go and talk to a bunch of people to see whether this idea is going to work of yours. You might even want to be able to say, look, I want my first client in the first 6 months, or actually want to break away from my 9-to-5 and I want to move on and start doing consulting immediately. But whatever that goal is, it doesn't really matter at this stage. I just want you to get into the principle and understanding of how to use this little tool that I'm going to give you. So at the beginning of that page, at the top of the page, write down my transition strategy goal is, and then draw a line down the center of that piece of paper. And there you've got two columns. You've got a left-hand column and you've got a right-hand column. Now, on top of the left-hand column, what I'd like you to do is write the title, Move Away. And on top of the right-hand column, I'd like you to write the title, Move Towards. And then start to think about those two columns. And list out everything that's actually going to move you towards that goal, and then everything that's actually going to move you away from that goal. Those could be a whole bunch of things. Watching TV, procrastinating, not doing those actions that you set out a month or so ago, not going out to meet people. There's a whole bunch of things that actually take you away and actually move you towards. So I want you to list all of those out. So once you've listed them all out, I want you to work on your top three. So go down those two lists, rank them from 1 to 10 in terms of the importance they have and the impact they have in either moving you away or moving you towards your goal. Once you've got your top three, then I'd like you to be able to start working on them. Now, you either got a choice. You either eliminate that activity or you have an action plan that starts to look at how you're going to address it. Now, if you do this, you'll not only be clear about what the next step is going to be into consulting, but you'll also have taken some radical action in doing something about it. And as you decide to walk away from your 9-to-5, just remember, the uncertainty of what was next ended up being the fuel that I needed to get me away from my first day to now. And I'm still here to tell the tale. Now, the past few years have been some of the best to date, but not without a lot of hard work, sweat, and coffee. I hope these insights will give you the support you need to set the stones for your own path, or whatever the greatness looks like to you. I hope you're going to find value in the insights that I've given above, and you're able to embrace them into the new world of becoming an independent consultant, and being able to sell your expertise and experience as a consultantpreneur. Hey, thanks for listening. I'm truly blessed. I hope that you managed to get some real value and insight from this week's show. Don't forget, you can sign up and download each action guide for free or email me directly on masood@theconsultingedge.co if you want to connect. Hey, I'd love to hear about your story and also to let me know what you'd like to listen to on any of the future series of the podcast. Until then, here's to your continued success to find your consulting edge. Become a consultantpreneur and be part of the 1 million futures.